Now, I can remember as a kid. Now, I hope y'all go out and tell all y'all stories to people, too. All the stories that you can tell. But when I went to kindergarten, I can't remember the lady's name, but y'all remember the old station wagons that had to roll up windows in the back? Crank window. All the windows cranked in our station wagon, but it had a big crank window in the back. But I had been to Mama Jackson's, and she cut big old taters wedges. She fed me French fries. That's about all I ate was French fries and beans. And she had a Lipton sweet tea. You know, you take the instant sweet tea and you put it in a glass. You know, she wasn't a great cook, but man, she made some French fries. And I'd go outside, do anything I want to do at Mama Jackson's house. I'd go play in the gullies. Back then we had gullies. You know, Tarzan vines to swing on. So you could just run wild as a kid. Come back, you had to eat. You knew where to, come back to eat. Take June bugs and tie strings to their legs and fly them around back and, you know, just enjoy life. And Mama Jackson's was a fun place. Mama had to be at work at 7 o'clock at Draymore Manufacturing. That's when we actually made things over here in the United States, made curtains. She did that for 21 years. But something happened, and I was getting ready to start school, so I needed to start kindergarten. So now I'm going to go to a place where I'm restricted. I went in there. I had to sit around with the other kids and whatever we had to do. And I couldn't go out. I looked out that window and I couldn't go outside the window. And I didn't like it. I rebelled. I was a rebellious kid. And I let Mama know about it. Well, one morning, like I said, Mama, she had to be at work. And if you know Mama, Debbie, if she goes and gets her at church and church starts at 10, Mama's going to be up at 7. Yeah, that's just the way Mama, she's ready. And if you ain't there 30 minutes or at least 30 minutes, she's going to be calling you, where are you at? So Mama had to be at work, she had to be at work. And this morning I determined, I ain't going into this place. So I watched. I don't know if this is going to work in with the message or not, but I thought you need to hear it this morning. When Mama got out of the car, I locked every window, I locked every door in that car. Click, 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 click. And I was screaming and a hollering. I was crying. I don't want to go into that place. I don't like that old woman. I don't forget everything I said, and my mama couldn't remember. But I can remember she probably cussed at me a couple times because she said, when I get my hands on you. But see, mama knows something that you don't know. That old crank went in the back. It was broke. Mama got in. You might think, see, lock all the doors. Lock your doors. But the devil knows something, the weak parts in your life. He's trying to get in. He's trying to get in. Don't let him in. Fix the lock. Amen. Get it fixed. And lock it down. Jesus said the devil has nothing in me. But regardless, I went back to that place, but Mama took me back to Mama Jackson's. I guess I pitched such a fit. She said, I ain't going to deal with that no more. So I went back to Mama Jackson's. Bypass kindergarten. Bypass kindergarten. I turned out pretty good. I probably didn't have a jump start on school, but I was a kid. And I played. Today we want to talk about, I think it kind of goes right along, you know, all this stuff we're hearing today. What's going on in our world? People's looking for hope. Yes. Hope in what? You know, I remember, I think I preached a message on what is going on. What's going on? A couple months ago, because I asked Rowan that, some things that was going on when school was in. And I asked him, kind of startled him one day when I said that, when he came in, I said, that's the message for Sunday. What is going on? Well, Jesus told us at the end times, things are going to get worse. But light's going to be in the camp of the Israelites. Darkness has no fellowship with light. Yes. Amen. But you got to stay in the light. You got to stay in Christ. And we just started our authority series over here on Wednesday nights. If you can make it, fine. If not, I believe I hear from God. You believe you hear from God?
Yes.
And he's told me that the messages are going to come for Sunday from Wednesday. Now, it might not be specifically line for line outline, but he spoke something in there, and I told Kelsey to write both of them down. She wrote one of them down, but I got to go back to the recording and get the other ones, because it's when it came out of my spirit, I'm like, you need to write that down. I need to hear that again myself. Yeah. See, that's God. That's a direct revelation that God just drops in your spirit. And part of it's in it today. I just felt like it was a coal right off the fire. Hot. Amen. Hot from heaven. Yeah. Amen. Hot coal. A lukewarm coal ain't going to do you no good. You need a hot coal to get that hamburger sizzling. Amen. Well, God needs some hot Christians out here. Amen.
Amen.
We need to burn up the devil's territory. We need to be hot for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Be hot. Be on fire. Be on fire. My hope is in the Lord. Got some good old song. My hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in you. Because we are in, and this is the topic, we're in a spiritual battle.
Yes.
See, the world, the news channels, they're not going to talk about the spiritual stuff that's going on in these shootings. They're just going to blame the guns. They're going to do a mental assessment of this person. That's all. Yeah, that's true. But there's something deeper. There's something deeper. There's a spiritual battle going on for our souls, for our minds. Ephesians 6, 10 and 12 says this. Paul said, finally, my brethren, we need to go back and see what he was talking about. All the things need to be walking in love, doing this, doing that, step 1, 2, 3, 4. And then finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave home without it. Amen. The whole armor of God. Because that you may be able, without the whole armor, you're not going to be able. You're going to take some shots. That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceptions, the tricks, the attacks of the devil. Shooters.
Amen.
Religious fanatics out there. Radical fanatics that are serving wrong gods. Gods of Pharaoh. See, that's judgment came on the gods of Pharaoh. All those gods of bugs and flies and sun that they were worshiping, it came, God, there was judgment came because there's only one God and he has revealed himself to us through Jesus. For we wrestle not against people in flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are different levels of demonic spiritual realms. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of darkness, not the rulers of light. See, we're rulers of light. We got Jesus. We got the whole army of heaven backing us up and the Word of God.
Amen.
And they hearken, angels hearken to God's Word. But then also the rulers of darkness hearken to the devil's words of fear, depression, guilt, shame. See, that's when we open up the door to the devil. See, we have to stand against those attacks. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, our fight is not against people. Never has been. There was a battle that went on in the garden. It was between Adam and Eve and Lucifer. We lost. Deception came in. We lost. But that wasn't the end. Jesus was coming. He's coming again, my friend. Friends, he's coming again.
Yes.
So our fight is never against people, but it's against the spiritual forces that's influencing them. See, God never wanted that person to shoot anybody in Walmart. But God has given this earth over to us in the beginning. He can't change that. He had to rearrange it. He had to give it to the old covenant, new covenant. I like what Keith Moore said. Old covenant and new covenant, but God is the same. God never changes. The covenants change. God never changes. His word never changed. He just had to deal with mankind in a different way. Old covenant, new covenant, law, and then grace. We're underneath the dispensation of grace. We're not going back under the law. I'm not going back under bondage. And I'm not going to let the devil win in my life. We heard some people doing some battles this morning and families. We got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to know that there's a battle and we're in the middle of it. And until Jesus comes, it's on, buddy. Don't never think that when things are going good, that's when you need to be sharpening your swords, loading your guns. I ain't talking about real guns. If you got guns, that's fine. I'm talking about loading, getting yourself, putting your belt of truth on, keeping it on, your breastplate of righteousness. I ain't talking about, I won't go that way. Think about Bojangles. See, I try to limit myself on Bojangles now, so I try to not talk about it so much. You talk about it, it's when, it's when you when you when you start talking about it, you don't go past it, you turn into it. That's about the Word of God does to you. It's what you put in your heart, it's what you start speaking, and that's what you start going for. Amen. Amen. Nothing wrong with Bojangles, just don't have a biscuit every morning and every evening. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Have the bread of life. You can never have too much life. So people's not our problem. However, most of us, and when I say that us, it's like the church or the world. The world doesn't anyway. But simply don't recognize the role that the spirit realm plays in our daily lives, every day. And that's why we really got to take a hold of what we say out of our mouth, because that's either life or death into our situation. The truth is that people all around the world today are being influenced. Amen?
Amen.
They're either being influenced by God or by the world.
That's right.
And the world is Satan's domain.
That's right.
This world that we're in.
Yes.
He's God, little g of it, right now. And he has been. Even when Jesus came, he was God of the world. But Jesus said, Jesus was under the law, but he was full of grace. See, Jesus didn't. He fulfilled the law. He didn't break the law. He fulfilled the law. And he did it as a man, anointed by God. And he never let Satan have an inroad into his life. So that means we can do it. Now that would be, now we're not Jesus, we're not the Son, but we are sons. Amen?
Amen.
And he showed us how to do it. People are all around the world are being influenced, controlled, and used to whatever degree by the devil, or to whatever degree by God, by the Holy Spirit. See, we can go from glory to glory to glory. We can go from different levels, depending on how much we submit to God or how much we yield. And what's bad, don't take this wrong, because we're all, every day we're going to sin. Sins are out there for us to commit. Sins of disobedience. Sins of I didn't do what I did. I didn't. The Bible says to, if it ain't faith, it's sin.
Amen.
So if I do something and it's not of faith, it's a sin, but that doesn't mean I lose my salvation and then God doesn't love me. He loves me regardless. If I would, from this point until Jesus come back, if I did not do nothing else for the kingdom of God, God still loves me regardless. His love never changes. But somebody else ain't going to be blessed because God needs me.
Amen.
He needs a voice. He needs a person to speak his word in love to change somebody's future.
Amen.
See, that Christian, that her name was Brenda Threet. See, I remember her name. Why? Because it changed my life. When God gives me something, when God gives you something, it'll change your life.
Amen.
And I remembered that work, that act of kindness that she showed, and I related it because she was a Christian. Now, there's a lot of religions out there that do good things, but they're only doing it to try to earn God's grace. You can't earn it. It's a free gift.
Amen.
Not by works, lest I would have something to boast about.
Yes.
I ain't got nothing to boast about. Jesus is the one I get to boast about.
Yes.
It's because it's what he did on that cross.
Yes.
It's how you're free, Elaine. Free from sin, sickness, disease. You name it, he finished it.
Yes.
Amen. I don't care what kind of doctor, what name the doctor puts on it. You say, you bring it home. You bring it down to your level. Finished, not on my bucket list. Lord give me, I got to preach on a bucket list. A bucket list. You know what a bucket list is? It's things you want to get done. It's your bucket list. I've had a to-do list forever. It's called a honey-do list. Honey, do this. Honey, do that. I never get that list done. I got me a bucket list. I say, honey, I need to show her my bucket. You keep giving me your honey-do list. I got a bucket list. This is what I want. See, God told me, tell me, what do you want? Be blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
Just don't let it have you. So we have to adopt and keep this, adopt a biblical mindset. And it will make a huge difference in the way that we respond. Be a faith responder. First responder, faith responder. You know, I'm teaching our kids, you know, teach them, man, when something happens at school, don't respond in fear, respond in faith, and fear will have to flee.
Amen.
That means evil will have to stop. It will not hit you. The Bible says one may put 1,000, two can put 10,000. It'll come up against you one way and flee you seven ways. That's that shield of faith. Bam. If you believe God. If you believe God, hearken to his word. See, if I believe God, I won't run. I'll stand. I'll stand against the wiles. A lot of people are running. Now, in the face of the adversity, we got to stand in faith. Remember the Old Testament, they sent the praise team out. Didn't send the troops with the guns. They sent the praisers out to steal the enemy. And then I just think about David. Back then they had bows, right? They shot. Would you rather try to shoot a moving target or one to steal? Jim, you can preach this. Ooh. To steal the enemy. You want to take a shot when something's running? Or is it easy if it's sitting still? Wham, I can take him out. Steal the enemy, and then, hey, the shot's coming. Because they done decided I'm your enemy. And if Paul will tell you this, if you're killing God's people, you're God's enemy.
Amen.
That means judgment is there. God loves you, but hey, he has to make a choice. Covenant. And if somebody's trying to kill me, there's judgment on that person. Wrath of God is against that person. If they're not born again, I got to keep my sword out, the word of God. You know, you see in the New Testament, Paul called blindness on a sorcerer. And he was blind for a season. Nothing wrong with that. He didn't die. He had a chance to repent. Amen. Blindness came upon him. Look in the Old Testament. Elijah and what was his servant? Gehazi. They was out there. They were surrounded. Come to kill them. There's more to be with us than be with them. There wasn't but two of them, but they couldn't see in the spiritual realm. There was a spiritual battle, but the prophet could see. He wasn't in fear. Why? Because he could see. Now, if I can't see, I'm going to be in fear. But see, I don't see with these eyes. I see with the eyes of my heart. And see, that's what the Word of God does to us, and we continue to meditate on it and eat it, partake of it. It gives us eyes and ears to hear. So when the tragedy comes, man, we're speaking. Let it out of your mouth. Elaine prayed for boldness 2 years ago, and it's working. Let it out, Elaine. Let that boldness out.
Amen.
Shout it out. Remember the old shout it out commercials? Shout it out of there. It's praying tongues. Loud if you need to. See, but we're in the generation of don't offend me. And see, the devil is trying to silence the church. He's trying to silence the people, the whole world. But see, if the devil says shut up, what do we need to do? We need to start singing, talking, and shouting. Amen. Because we don't listen to the devil. Jesus says, shut up and come out. Now, who's next? R.W. Shambach probably say that too. Devil, come out. Who next? Who's next? Amen. We have to recognize that it's not our neighbor. But you need to be a neighbor to your neighbor. Even if they're wearing all kind of piercings. We seen one last night on Facebook. This guy had a thing in his jaw. About that is a silver dollar. You can see his teeth from the side. You know what that is? I said, that's demonic. That person's just, their body is their God. God loves that person. He needs to know about Jesus. Because
yes.
God can fix all that stuff, but he can't, if they reject Jesus, his son, he can't fix that. He can't fix their heart. Now, you give it to him now, he can do something with it. But he needs to hear Jesus. Amen?
Right.
He's lost.
Amen.
He's fallen. He's identifying with a group that doesn't respect their bodies as a temple of God. Now, we're not out there to judge people. We're out there to let them know about Jesus. But see, we discern. There's nothing wrong. There's a difference between judging and discerning.
Right.
We can discern that spirit and the spirit that's behind that, and we need to speak into that situation. If God says speak, we need to speak. Jeremiah the prophet, he was a weeping prophet. Why? He had to speak. He had to speak what God was telling him. And it didn't feel good, but this ain't a feel-good message. This is a real good message.
Yes.
If you say what God says, it's going to be a real good, not a feel-good. Amen. I don't want to feel good. Now, it's good to feel good, but I want to be real good. Amen. I want to be real. Real with people. Tell them the truth. Don't sugarcoat it. Amen. Don't sugarcoat it. Give it love, but don't sugarcoat it. Don't compromise. If you put the comp on promise, you got compromise.
Yes.
Amen. We don't want to do that.
Amen.
It's not our problem is not our neighbor. It's not our spouse. It's not even our circumstances that are really what's coming against us. They can be influenced, inspired, and used of the devil. But they really aren't the source. They're not the source. When we genuinely understand that it isn't a physical battle, it will change the way we respond. Instead of wanting to get the hammer and knock somebody up the head, we want to get the hammer of the Word. Get the Word out there and love them. Amen? Love them. Now, sometimes we have to bring the law in there in situations. You know, the law is there to show sin, that they are a sinner, but then you got to season it with grace. You got to bring them to grace. We have to be able to recognize that the devil, as well as God, can speak through us and use us. Remember Peter? I'm not going to go read it. Remember Peter? That's what we talked about Wednesday night. Peter, Jesus asked him, Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, he asked his disciples. And they said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're a good teacher, great teacher. See, Jesus asked, what does the world think about me? What are they saying about me? I can say this to y'all. What's the world? What are y'all saying about the pastor? What are y'all saying about me? But what does God? Who do you? In other words, you might hear some people that don't go to this church. I need to put it that way. They might have heard me on radio, and they might ask you, what's the people saying about Pastor Jackson? Well, some saying you lost it, Pastor. Some saying these corny jokes you say, you're just way out there. Some saying you're just weird. But then I'll look at you. I said, but who do you say that I am? That's what Jesus said. But Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ. See, he hung around the real Jesus. There had been a lot of fake messiahs, fake Christ out there. But this was the real deal. Jesus was the real Messiah. He showed up. And he said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father. See, Jesus recognized that. Jesus recognized that spirit. That was his Father speaking through Peter. And Jesus lifted Peter up. And then Jesus had to get deep with him. He said, now, boys, I got something to do. I got to go and I got to be spit on, beaten, bruised, crucified. But they didn't listen to the end of the message. A lot of times we listen to the message, but we forget the main point. But he said, on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Peter just heard the first of it, said, oh, Jesus, you ain't going there. I die with you. I'm going to protect you. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Looking Peter face to face and called him the devil. He wasn't speaking to Peter. He was speaking to the devil. But Peter didn't understand. Peter didn't understand that. But Peter didn't leave. He cleaved. See, man, when God separated them, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. When Adam and Eve come together, you leave and you cleave, a marriage. You leave your mother and you cleave to your wife. See, amen. Peter didn't leave. He cleaved to Jesus. He's cleaving. There's something deeper here. He didn't understand it, but he believed Jesus. That was a teachable moment. Peter just happened to be Jim does good. He'll bring props up here. He'll show you things. He'll pull things out of his pocket. He ain't got a hat. I figure he'd pull something out of his hat one of these days. But he'll teach you. He'll bring you up here on stage too. I think Cecil, you brought you up here, didn't he? But you found what you were looking for, right? See, Jesus wants you to follow him so you'll find what he's got for you. But you got to follow. You got to come to the table if you want to eat. Mama used to call me when it was time to eat when I was outside playing. Robert, a lot louder. Robert Scott. When she said Scott, that was my cue. If I didn't get there, I'm going to have a mark on my body. It's called belt. Because supper's ready, it's time to eat. Because why? She got to wash dishes and got to get cleaned up. Ain't got time to be waiting on you crazy kid out there playing around out in the woods having a good old time. But see, Mama was a kid once too. Don't remember, you were a kid once too. Show mercy to your kids. Give them grace and mercy so you can have peace. I get an amen back here from the youth in the church. Amen. Come on now. He said, who are you talking to, Pastor? Remember, our fight is not against people. But the devil can influence you, or you can let God influence you. Even a Christian, we're going to, whatever we yield ourselves to, influences us. Like Jesus, we have to discern whose voice is coming. And to be able to know, that's how important it is to read not the Quran, but the Holy Scriptures. Amen. There's only one God. His name is Jehovah.
Amen.
And His Son, Yeshua. And the Holy Ghost. The three are one. Amen.
Amen.
And they are the God of love. Love your enemies. Bless those. That's the Bible I read.
Amen.
That when my enemy spits on me, I'm supposed to love him. If I'm being persecuted for the gospel's sake, that's what I do. Don't come around spitting on my wife if we ain't preaching the gospel. We're liable to get into a fight. But when I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake, I'm supposed to turn the other cheek, right? So you got to balance this. We don't love people that come out with guns wanting to shoot us. Unless it's for the gospel's sakes. Man, that's when I don't have a gun, but I'll get the word out, get the sword out, amen? Nothing wrong with having guns either. Because Jesus told Peter to put your sword in, he didn't tell him to get rid of it. Did Jesus say, get rid of your sword? He said, put it back in the sheath right now. Amen. There's a time to fight, and there's not a time to fight. Fight with your words or fight with the sword. See, Jesus has a sword. It's His word. Amen. It comes out. It's a double-edged sword. It'll cut you, and it'll heal you. Amen. It can bring judgment, or it can bring grace, mercy. Two-edged sword, judgment or grace and mercy. I want grace and mercy. We under the blood. We take the Passover, right? We in the family. Couple more points here. Oh, good gracious. Somebody move that clock up on me. I'm going to have to get a digital clock, one I can program, I can manipulate with my app, with my phone. We're in a spiritual battle. To be able to win this battle, we have to know who we are in Christ, our authority as believers, and we must keep ourselves in the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through 18 tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord gave me Wednesday night, and this is where a lot of this comes from. As I was teaching, it says, Jesus did not separate Himself from the world. He's a friend of sinner. Jesus didn't separate Him from the world, but He didn't let the world separate Him from God.
Amen.
Ain't that awesome? He didn't separate Himself from the world. He walked right through that crooked, perverse generation. But He never let the world separate Him from His relationship with God. He didn't rebel against the government, but He didn't let the government tell Him who He was or who His Father was. Remember? Amen?
Yeah.
Who's on the coin? They tried to trap Him. Who's on the coin? Jesus didn't need that coin. He knew who His Father was. He pretty much said, who you put your trust in, pay them. Give to God what's God. Give to Caesar's what's Caesar's. God owns it all. Amen?
Amen?
My life is in Him. My life is in You, Lord. My life is in You. So we're not to separate ourselves from the world. We're to be out here, when that talked about separate yourself and come out from among them, in other words, don't be like them, but don't let them separate you from what you believe in God. This is where we're fighting for our children when they go to school, when they go to universities, they're in our political system. You just look at it. They're trying to get in our government and change our constitution, which is based on the Judeo-Christian word, God. Amen?
Amen.
And we can't let that happen. We have to stand up against what is wrong and say, this is what's right. So don't let the world separate you from what you believe. We're believers. John 8, 28, 30, as we're closing here. Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. Jesus didn't speak of Himself. There was no pride in Him. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that has sent me is with me, never leaves me. Father has not left me alone, for I do all those things that please Him. That needs to be your confession. I want to do all things, Lord, that please You. That's my purpose. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. See, that's our goal, guys. If we compromise the word, no believing. That's just religion. If we compromise the word, that's religion. That's man's tradition. This is what I think. There's a lot of things that's been said God never said. It's a tradition that was added and added and added and added. Are you thinking about it? Come on, I want to know that. Added and added. God never said that. Man said that. And that becomes a tradition. And that will make the word of God none effect. Why? God didn't, he didn't authorize that authority. He didn't put his name on it. And if it ain't got, sin ain't got his name on it. Same-sex marriage don't have his name on it. You can't bless what God's cursed. I don't care what man says they're married. God says they're not.
Right.
Amen. Period. Don't hate me, love me. I'm telling you the truth. Because Jesus said, if you follow me, then you'll be my disciples indeed. Follow what Jesus said, and you'll know the truth. And that truth will make you free. Free from the curse. What's the curse? Go look it up in Deuteronomy. Botch, mildew, sickness, disease, poverty. I don't want that. God says you don't have to have it. But if you don't listen to me, it's knocking at the door. Not God's will. Because God gave us a choice. Amen. And see, that's where it's our choice. We can go live in sin. God will let you do that. Tells us that in Romans. He turns them over. That's not his will for them. But he will not go against your will. He loves you that much to give you a free will. Because if he didn't, he would be a dictator. He would step in and say, no, you're not going to do that. But see, a lot of people don't understand God's nature. Amen? And it's good. His nature is good. So if we preach the truth, people can believe in that. And they believe on Jesus, they get born again and get changed. Amen? And don't rebel against their parents and go to kindergarten like they're supposed to. See, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was being influenced, Randy, by spirits. I was rebellion. I didn't get the rod of God, but I got a rod. I got spanking. I got whooped. I'd rather be whooped my mama than whooped my daddy, though. But you know what? God don't whoop you. He don't whoop you with belts and rods. He whoops us with the word. He corrects us with his word. If you'll do this, you won't have that. But if you don't do this, sin lies at the door. He didn't say God lies at the door. He said sin. So concluding today, it is our undeniable relationship with the Father that will cause people to believe. In other words, Lord, I believe. I'll die for you. And I believe Peter really meant that.
Amen.
He really, really meant that. But he didn't have the power to do it yet. He didn't have that power of the Holy Ghost yet. But Jesus didn't want him to die for him. He wanted him to live for him. He wanted him to preach that gospel. And he did. He followed him. He knew Peter. Jesus knew Peter. And he corrected him. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Jesus didn't hold the truth from him. He told him the truth. He told him what he was going to do. And it hurt Peter enough that he just cussed him, said, I never knew the man. Never knew him. Never hung out with him. But Jesus loved him anyway. Jesus loved him regardless. Because why? Because Jesus had a relationship with the Father that no matter what man did to him, he knew where he came from, he knew his purpose, and he knew what he was going to do, and he did it, Jesus. And he finished it. He finished it. He took it to the enemy's camp. Amen. Defeated death, hell, and the grave. And is risen. Amen. Praise God. We're in a spiritual battle. But the battle is the Lord's. He's already defeated. He's already won that spiritual battle. We just have to be his policemen. We have to enforce it. Put on the badge. I'm a believer. I got more than one bullet. Amen. God gave me a book full of his promises. We got all kind of ammunition. Whatever comes up against you, you've got ammunition for it. Load up. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon your people. On your word, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that no matter where we go in this world, You are with us. And Lord, there's dark days. There are dark days upon us, Lord. But you said, you are the light of the world. And that light is in us, Lord. And we just thank you for the gospel, the good news. We leave this place, Lord. We thank you for filling us with your Spirit and giving us power and authority to be able to take over situations that would arise, Lord, and help us. Thank you for that boldness, Holy Spirit. You told us in that day, don't try to think about what you're going to say. Just let me have your mouth and I'll speak forth that word out of you. So we yield our tongues to you today, Lord, our life. A living sacrifice. We submit it to you, Lord, and we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us the words that we need to speak. That let your word be in our mouth like a sword to be able to use it correctly, Lord. The two-edged sword to be able to use it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.